Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
My dad's uncle, who was reared like my dad, very poor, during the Depression, one of seven kids, dad died, Baptist preacher died right during the Depression, left a single mom and seven kids, very poor, very poor. But this uncle, especially, for some reason, mustered a good deal of bravado and self-assurance and self-confidence. He just kind of had that way about him. And he had a phrase, or he had many phrases that I remember, but one particularly that I still use, Nikki will testify, I still use it in memory of my Uncle Carol. When we get a good parking place right in front of a restaurant or someplace like that, I'll say, well, let's just pull right in here like we own the place. That's the way my Uncle Carol would talk. Well, let's just pull in here like we own the place. Here, a couple of years ago, CNN carried a story. It was on Anderson Cooper's 360 Degrees, if you're familiar with that. A story about Wilfredo Garza, who lived the life of an illegal immigrant for 35 years. He would swim the river or get across any way he could to make a living for his family. But he always had to look over his shoulder and many times was picked up, went through all the stuff that you have to go through in that kind of a situation and bussed back to Mexico. But he'd keep doing it because the financial advantages, as you can understand, were just enough to make the risk worth it. But all of those years, 35 years, he lived that life of looking over his shoulder and never feeling confident and always worried that he would be sent back, as he often was. But for some reason, Wilfredo worked up the courage one time to walk into an immigration lawyer's office. And there, they did some research and discovered that his father was born in Texas and that had spent time working here in Texas. And that meant that Wilfredo was actually a citizen of the U.S. And so after going through the filing of the necessary papers, sure enough, one day he found out, I am a citizen. He no longer had to swim over. He no longer had to look over his shoulder because he was a citizen. And because of that, rather than slipping over, he could walk through the main gate. Great story. You know, I fear for so many Christian men and women who, for whatever reason, live lives very tentative, fearful, looking over their shoulder, slipping over when really they could hold their head up high. They could. And walk through the main gate. That's what Paul's talking about this morning in Colossians. As he writes to new Christians, he wants to let them know just exactly what kind of life they have, this new life in Christ, far different life than what they had left behind. And so Paul's purpose, and it's my purpose this morning as I compose this lesson, under the prayerful leadership of the Lord Jesus as I prayed, Lord, help me to say what you want said this morning to your people. And I don't know that I will. I don't hear his voice audibly, but I depend on his leadership in not only the delivery, but the preparation for every sermon. Here's what I think you need to hear this morning. I believe it's what God wants you to hear. I want us to realize, here's my purpose. Every good sermon needs to have a purpose. I want us to realize our new life in Christ. And I don't use that word realize casually. I like words. I like to think how words were formed and what are the component parts of those words. Words are amazing things. They are the tools of communication even for God, but especially for us. Do you know what this word realize means? You can see it in the word real, can't you? Real. Realize, and this is what I would love for you to do as a result of this lesson this morning. Realize means to grasp, to make real, to bring vividly to mind. But there's also an accounting ramification for this word realize. Realize is also a word used in accounting, and it means to obtain the proceeds, either from a sale or an investment. You realize something. It becomes real in your life. So what I'd love for us to do this morning is to make this great passage of Scripture from Colossians real in our lives, because I fear that many of you, even though you've had the surgery, you have been baptized into Christ, you are a Christian, you still live as if you are not a citizen. Paul is speaking to people who, because of their faith, were buried in baptism and raised to new life. Beginning in verse 1, he said, "Since then you have been raised with Christ." They were buried in baptism. They were raised to new life in Christ. "Now then, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Now these new Christians had a new life. Ever since, because of their faith, they were buried in baptism and rose to new life. They had new life in two ways. The first way, they had a new perspective that they had never had before. A new perspective. In verses 1 and 2, literally what Paul is saying from the original language, the Greek, in which Colossians was first penned. Literally, he wrote, "Be seeking," this is the sense of the verb, "be seeking the things above where Christ is. Be thinking the things above, not the things upon the earth." Now, Paul is not talking about living a life that is way out here in la-la land, an otherworldly kind of existence. Because of all people, Paul knew what it was to live real life. I mean, he made tents. He traveled. To use his language, he knew how to abound. He knew how to suffer need. I mean, he was on the roller coaster of life, even emotionally. There was a time Paul said, "I despair of life." Over in 2 Corinthians, he said, "I despair of life." I mean, he was about as low as you could get. And yet, he knew the exaltation that is only possible in Christ. He knew it all. So Paul is not saying, now you live a life in a monastery off somewhere and all you think about are the things of the Spirit, because that's just not real. And if the Bible is anything, it's real. I mean, you have school to think about, you have gas prices to think about, you have the economy to think about. I mean, there's all sorts of things we have to live with just because we are here. We didn't ask to be here. God put us here, and so we've got to deal with it. All the aspects of life. Paul knew that. But Paul also knew that there was a way to live whereby your emphasis, your focus was not on here. Your focus was above and beyond. C.S. Lewis is just one of my favorite writers and people. C.S. Lewis said this, and I believe that if you internalize this, it will change your perspective. Here's what Paul is saying. I believe. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. Now, your old life, that life before the dividing line of faith and baptism, and you're rising to be a new person. Just leave that, if you don't mind, leave that quote up there for a while. Let our folks sort of see that. If you can go back, Jerry, I don't know if you can or not. The old life, you approach life almost the exact opposite. You felt very much, I am a body. Oh yeah, almost forgot, I have a soul too. But your primary emphasis, almost 99.9% of the time, was on right here, right now. I mean the body. Health. Comfort, attaining, entertainment, knowledge. I mean, probably 99.9% of the time, right here. Tell them I said hello. Tell them the preacher said hello. 99.9% of the time. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. Primarily, you are a soul, an eternal soul. It will live forever, somewhere. It will never cease to exist. And oh yeah, you have a body. It's the temple where the soul lives. And you need to take care of it. You don't need to disregard the temple. It was a God-given temple, and so it's not insignificant, but it's not the primary focus of your life. That's what Paul is saying. And as a Christian, you have a new perspective. You seek, you think, your focus is on eternity. Judy Morgan mentioned to me some weeks ago, she said, you know, we often talk about the afterlife. She said, that's wrong. What we need to be thinking of is this is pre-life. What we are doing right now is living our pre-life. Real life is yet to come, the life for which we were created, and the life we indeed will live is yet to come. And so when a person gets to the point in his pre-life or her pre-life that it looks like the ties are slowly being unraveled and the anchor is being loosed, and it looks like they will be able to soar to that new life pretty soon, we're not like the people who are bound to this earth. We don't say, oh no, isn't that awful? Oh no, oh no, they're going to die. Oh, this is terrible. The worst thing that could happen, they're going to die. You see, the reality is, in one's new life, this small portion we would call a preface is about over. And the real life is coming. The ones to be pitied are the ones that still have to deal with the pre-life, not the one moving on to life. Folks, it's things like that that changes everything. It's a perspective change. And that's what we have in Jesus Christ. Here during spring break, Nikki and I went to Dallas. And I told you about my $75 tithes. Listen, that ain't nothing. When Nikki and I go to Dallas, we stay at places like the Westin Galleria. That's right. That's right. We don't fool around. Two nights in the Westin Galleria. Well, the truth is, and here's a little tip for you, get on Hotwire. And you'll get a room in the Westin Galleria about the price of a Best Western in Olney. And that's what we did. But I tell you what, it's nice. Here's what we did, though, when we got to the hotel. Went up to the 9th floor, used our card, got in the room. I said, oh no, I don't like the way this room looks. Nikki, I tell you what let's do. Let's hire an interior decorator. We're going to change this room. I don't like the curtains. I'm going to change the furniture. I'm going to change the hangings on the wall, the pictures on the wall. I'm going to change the mattress. I mean, we want two good days here. Let's make it count. And so we did. Had a television I didn't like. I wanted a HD. Went down to Circuit City. They were going out of business. Got a good deal on an HD TV. Came back, put it on the wall of the Westin Galleria. And enjoyed it. It's pretty. We were there 2 days. At the end of the second day, we came home. Left all that there. Now, is that what we did? What would you think about somebody who'd do something like that? Silliest thing you've ever heard, isn't it? We don't live at the Westin Galleria. We can pretend like we do for a little while. We can put on the dog for a little while, but we don't live there. And we know it. Paul is saying in Christ, you get a new perspective. You don't invest everything here. Oh, you live here. It's your pre-life. But your investments are made for your life. That's what Paul is saying. Now, a second aspect of your new life is what he talks about beginning in verse 3. Not only do you have a new perspective when you rise up out of that water as a Christian, you have new possibilities you've never dreamed of because you've never seen it really before in your life. Especially these folks who had that pagan background, They'd never heard of Christianity before Paul talked to them or Epaphras talked to them. I mean, they just knew a pagan lifestyle. But here they are, Christians. And so Paul is painting for them the possibilities that now exist for them. And again, literally, here's what Paul wrote. "For you died, and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, put to death..." Now here's the way he put it. Here's the way the Greek wording would be. "Therefore, put to death your body part things on earth." Put to death your body part things on earth. Now he's not talking about the physical body parts, of course. He's talking about how those body parts are often used. And he lists them: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. And then he says, because of which things the wrath of God is coming. Lay aside all these things: wrath, anger, malice, blasphemy, filthy language from your mouth, and do not be lying to one another. That's the old person. Do you remember those days? Now really think about it in your own conversion experience, assuming it is past for you. Do you remember those days when those kind of things could be said about you? Or maybe better said, do you remember those years that you lived that way? And really, in so many ways, thought nothing about it. That's all you saw modeled in front of you. Many of you who are converted and live the new life, you still see that kind of life at work, at school. You see it everywhere. And those poor folks, really, bless their hearts, don't know that there's any other way to live, because they're still living in the darkness, not the new life. Paul says, "But you have put on the new person, which is being renewed." Listen to this. "You have put on the new person, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." In your new life, you are learning and being renewed constantly. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, that even as the physical body deteriorates, gets older, sort of wears out, the inward person is being renewed day by day. It's getting more vital, more vibrant. The real life is becoming more energized as you go on. But every day, you are becoming more like Christ as you focus on Him. Did you know, and any psychologist will tell you this, you are the person that you see and hear all the time. What you see, what you hear, is the person you become. If you hear negativity, if you hear criticism, if you hear sordid stuff, your life takes on that color. You become that person. As you focus on Jesus Christ, as you focus on things above, He becomes your ideal image, and more every day. Now, you may not realize it. It'll be so slow you don't even think about it. It becomes so natural. But more and more, that image, just like some of these 3D images you see in some gift shops, it just looks like a whole picture of confusion there. What in the world is that? And then the lady there may tell you, now, here's how to look at that. If you look kindly up above, if you don't look directly at it, if you just look above it, pretty soon an image will start coming into that picture. And sure enough, even though you've tried several times and it doesn't work, pretty soon here comes a picture. It's been there all along, but you never saw it. But there it is, rather miraculously. And then once you see it, you can never not see it. Isn't that amazing? And that's the way it is with Christ. As we focus on Him, Him becoming our ideal image, we are being renewed day by day into that image. Next week, I want to use Paul's description of what that image can look like in a practical, real, everyday way for you, because he tells us the image that can be yours, the image that will enable you to walk with your head held high through the main gate. And that's what Paul wants for you. That's what you want for yourself. Isn't it? So if you are a Christian, I just want to say congratulations on your new life. Congratulations on your new life. I mean, things will never be the same, and you'll never regret it. As you start seeing that image, if you are a pre-Christian, if you have never made that step, if you are still sort of wandering in some wilderness years of your life, or in the lobby of life's theater, and you're still sort of in limbo, maybe putting off any kind of decision, I just want to tell you, life is not that long for you to delay. Now, I don't want you to make a hasty decision. I want you to count the cost of your new life in Christ. But don't delay forever, because your life is slipping away like a mist. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You need to be living God's way, beginning as quickly as you can.